Joining us now on Animal Concerns of Texas is Mark Pearshall. Thanks for being with us, Mark.
Thanks for having me.
Mark, can we start out by having you tell our listeners how you initially got involved in animal and vegan issues?
Oh, sure. Well, I was a vegetarian for about 4 years, and then I watched a documentary called Baraka, which is a film that has a scene where they show male chicks being debeaked and then being sorted for, chicks being sorted for male and female chicks, and that made me wonder what's going on with my food in terms of where milk and eggs come from, and I looked more closer into the issue, and that made me want to go vegan.
Yeah, that's you're referring to when they, in particular, they throw away the male chicks because they're not valuable as for the industry at that point.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, well, that was, when you saw that movie, then you were thinking, why in the world am I eating and participating in this kind of animal cruelty, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That was 18 years ago. And back then, it was a bit harder to find information on this issue because the internet was not around.
Right,
yet.
Yeah.
There was organizations you could contact, like PETA or other animal welfare organizations, talking about these issues, but it wasn't as easy to get to this information. So, whereas now it's way more easy to just look it up and to find out what's behind the industry.
Yeah, I think I went from vegetarian to vegan about the time the internet came out. And I think the internet is a large driving force as to why there are such a rise in veganism.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something we talk in the film about as well, in regards to the Toronto Six Days movement, how they've been so successful and that their main goal is to just witness what's going on in the industry and this transport truck before they go to slaughter.
Yeah, I thought that was one of the most powerful parts of the movie, Mark, actually, just these pigs getting this one last moment of affection and watching all the animal advocates go up to the truck and, feed them little bits of water and try and rub their noses and stuff right before they go to slaughter. It was really a powerful part of the film. And then you sort of, then you switch to Esther the Wonder Pig, which was pretty funny. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about Esther and her story.
Yeah, sure. So Esther has become an internet phenomenon. She was adopted by Stephen Derrick when she was a little... Or she was supposed to be a mini pig, but then it turned out she was not a mini pig at all, and she was growing and growing to a regular pig. And they didn't really know what to do with her. And then they looked into the issue and what's going on with the meat industry, and they decided to go vegan. And now she has, I think, 1.5 million followers on Facebook, and they have since moved to a sanctuary where she lives with other animals, and
she is adorable, you have to admit. Those pictures on the web are, you just look into her face and she just looks so happy, unlike most of the pigs in the world. So it is nice to see a joyful and happy pig when most of the time, most pigs throughout the world are just under horrific conditions. So we're very happy that Esther can portray a happy pig and people can see the personality and the emotions that she expresses in her pictures.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's something they refer to as the Esther effect, which is the result of, all these images online and people following her and then changing their diets because what they learn about pigs and how Esther is portrayed compared to other animals.
I found it interesting, too, that Derrick and Steve were meat eaters before Esther, and then they not only went vegan, but they started the sanctuary. I mean, that's a lot of influence for one pig to have.
Yeah. It's a little bit of Charlotte's Web. I think this film, one of the things it does for many listeners is they're uncomfortable with watching animal cruelty and learning about some of the tougher things that are actually going on behind the scenes. But your film is really pretty lighthearted and it does focus on a lot of positive developments. And one of the things was in Germany. Just the explosion in veganism there. And I think you're German by background, right?
Yes, that's right.
So in the land of sausage and schnitzel and
hamburger.
And hamburger. What's going on in Germany?
How did that come to be?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something we tried to follow up through the film. So it all started back 5-6 years ago when there were a couple of meat-related food scandals. There was horse meat and lasagna. That was a big upset. And then there was a few books that came out. It was Eating Animals by Jonathan Stefan Fur, and then a German book that came out, and that seemed to create a larger discussion around this issue. And it was around that time that health got really in the focus of the mainstream movement, and being vegan has positive health benefits, of course, and that was really something that was highlighted, and there was lots of cookbooks that came out since then. So, yeah, and then the meat companies followed. All the big meat producers in Germany have now vegetarian and vegan products, and still continuing to grow, and like veganism now is something that's really entering the mainstream, and it's a term that's known by people, and it's really, really easy, and it's getting more easy to eat vegan and to buy vegan products even in the countryside.
Yeah, I was really shocked with the progress that's been made, because I had been in Berlin in about 2009, and I actually had a waiter throw a menu at me because I asked for pizza with no cheese and no meat, and he got very frustrated that, you know, that I could even think about eating pizza without cheese. It was just like incomprehensible to him. And then I found one vegetarian/vegan option place near the conference center where I was attending this conference, and every day for lunch and dinner I had to eat at that same place. So I was trying to get every participant, hey, who wants to go to lunch today, and take a different person with me every day. But it's really great to see how things have progressed, not only in Germany, but all throughout Europe. There's so many more options just in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, definitely. There's we see the trend growing all over Europe and all the countries around Europe. So it's really a positive movement that's continuing to grow.
Well, you know, one of the other things that you address in the film too is obviously the environmental impacts of a meat-based diet, and it's really, you know, the driving force of destruction of life on Earth is animal agriculture. And I thought I really liked one of the mentions in the film, one of the quotes in the film. It was said, if you eat a steak, you kill a lemur. If you eat a chicken, you kill a parrot in the Amazon. And I think that really helps people connect the fact that, you know, we're destroying the Amazon, we're destroying, you know, forests, and trying to create this land to grow animals. And, you know, for many of us, it's hard to make that leap between just the effect on the one animal who's, you know, in a factory farm somewhere and what destruction it's having on the environment.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just trying to show all the different aspects that, you know, our consumption choices are influencing and what kind of impact we could have if we stop eating animal products. So it's not just an effect on ourselves, our own health, but also on the environment, so just massive influence, and of course on the animals. And my idea with this film is let's turn around the perspective and to show what's possible instead of focusing on just the negative aspects, so that people can see this film and see that, okay, that's kind of how a vegan world would look like.
Well, you know, you also looked at other parts of the world, and one of the things that I really hadn't heard about was a vegetarian city in India. How did that come to be? In terms of, I guess that gives us a little hope that there's a focus on vegetarianism in a city as a whole, but what's the story there?
So I was really fascinated by India and their culture, and that there are so many vegetarians living there. So I wanted to explore that a little more in the film. And I came across Palitana, which made headlines a few years back as the first vegetarian city in India. And I guess there's a few, but that was like the one that stood out to me. And we went there and we tried to find out what it was all about. And there's a large population of Jains, and there's a holy temple there. And so the Jain monks made an agreement with the city that it's not allowed to consume animal products around the temple. And they want to extend that to the whole city. But of course, there's other people living there, other religious groups, large Muslim population there, and they're not too happy about that, of course. So there's the monks actually went on a hunger strike, trying to push that ban, and so we are sort of examining in the film what kind of effect that has. But it's really interesting to see, you know, different culture and how animals are seen in India, because it's way different compared to here.
Sure.
Or in West Africa.
And although not, you know, the general population tends to have a greater respect for wildlife, but it's not entirely without its I guess, faults, right? I mean, they treat cows differently, or if it's bulls, or, you know, certain animals aren't treated with the same amount of respect as others.
Yeah, that's true. And it's changing. It's changing with the Western influence now, and the meat and animal consumption or animal product consumption is growing rapidly over there.
And using certain animals for fur, or, you know, shipping live export type stuff.
Oh, the leather problem, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I guess also we didn't really talk much about health, but what I think one of the – is it Dr. Clapper in the film?
Yeah.
He was talking about how foods – and I thought this was a neat way to think about it. He talks about how foods bring information into the body and really turn things on and off. What does a plant-based diet do compared to, you know, what a standard diet does for health?
Well, Dr. Klaiper refers to in the film refers to that regarding that we don't know what kind of chain or what kind of effect food has on our body, so we don't know a lot of information or things that you know, a healthy diet can have on our body, and he's referring to that. And that we would save so much, a huge chunk of health that's being spent on healthcare now. I think there's actually a scientist, Marco Springman from the Oxford University, and they've done a study on this, and they say if the whole world went vegan, we could save up to $1.5 trillion, and which is healthcare related expenditures, and then damages, climate change related damages that we would save.
Right.
There was a man in the film that said something I've always believed in, which is it's going to take a disaster, a catastrophe, to push us all over the edge to veganism. I tend to believe that we're very reactive and not very proactive about the problems of the environment. And that. So are you optimistic that we will be able to turn things around in time before the apocalypse?
I would say I wasn't as optimistic before I started the film, but then when I came across, or when I researched the whole clean meat, cultured meat, and biotechnology side of things, and I found out how many companies are actually working on this, and that there could be a way that clean meat or cultured meat could replace the traditional meat products, then that made me really hopeful, because it's really something that, for hardcore meat eaters that really don't want to give up eating meat, that could be something that they could eat, or they could switch to, and it would have way less impact on animals.
Yeah, I'm hopeful for clean meat, which is also known as lab meat, which, you know, might be hard for the public to accept. But, you know, that I wouldn't eat it myself, but I'd like to see all the other meat eaters eat lab meat.
Yeah, I thought one of the things I was surprised about that I hadn't heard, and there's a few things in the film for sure that were things that weren't on my radar, but the Real Vegan Cheese Company, which sounds like an odd name for a company, but in actuality it's true, right? Because they're basically, what they're doing is they're trying to replicate the proteins just using plant-based products. Is that right? Like the breakdown of the sequencing?
Yeah, they're actually using yeast. Something being used to produce insulin as well, so they are changing the yeast proteins to create milk proteins, I guess. How it works, I'm not exactly sure. I'm not a scientist, but yeah. What's interesting about the company, though, is that there's no one paid. They're actually all volunteers, and they're biohackers. That's how they're called, I guess, and they're slowly making progress, and since we shot the film in 2015, they actually have made a big amount of progress, and now they're working on, I think they've produced a few samples now, so it's really exciting.
Well, you know, one of the other things you examine in the film is our relationships with animals, and one of the people you featured, she ended up adopting sheep, And I think, you know, people, and she talks about how people were baffled by the idea of you know, they're asking her, what are you going to do with the sheep? And she's like, nothing. I'm not going to do anything with the sheep, like as if they have to have some use. So I thought, you know, it was interesting how we accept some animals in our lives as not needing to have some use. You know, we'll share our homes with, you know, our dog, or, you know, if there's a squirrel outside, you're not going to try and capture it, or most people wouldn't, and use it for food. But it's weird that we assume with certain animals that they have to have a purpose in order to live on this planet.
Yeah, I guess that's how we're conditioned, that's how they grow up, that certain animals are meant to be used. And, I mean, that's how I grew up and how I saw animals for a large part of my life. So I think that's one of the goals of the film as well, that I wanted to show people that what's behind the farmed animal industry, that there's animals that are really not that far from our dogs and cats and the animals that we know as pets or companion animals, and that these animals have the same emotions, feelings, and can be companion animals as well, as you see in the case of Esther.
There was a phrase in the film I liked very much, which is co-citizens. And that's the way I like to view animals, as co-citizens.
Yeah, that's actually referring to a book by Will Kimlicka and Sue Donaldson, two Canadian authors. They wrote a book called Zoopolis, and they talk about their idea of citizenship for animals in terms of how we could live together with them in the future. And it's a really, really exciting book. I can really recommend it. And that was one of the ideas to make the film after reading the book.
Well, maybe to lower the level of the conversation here, Mark, but with Oktoberfest around the corner, and you happen to be German, any suggestions for us on how we should be celebrating this Oktoberfest?
Oh, actually, there's lots of vegan options now in Oktoberfest in Germany. So I think, yeah, it's becoming easier and easier to eat vegan, even at these huge events where, you know, people wouldn't have thought that there would be vegan products a few years back. And that shows how far the movement has evolved, and it's continuing to evolve. So, and I'm hoping to see this in other parts of the world as well, not just Germany.
Right. So we need to make a trip to Oktoberfest as part of research for ACT Radio, is what you're telling us.
We should definitely try and make a trip to Berlin. That's really the main city for vegans in Germany.
That'd be awesome. Well, Mark, can you tell our listeners where they can go to learn about your new film, The End of Meat, and also maybe where they can go to check out one of your last films, which is Live and Let Live, which is also a great film to watch?
Sure. So Live and Let Live is on Netflix globally, and The End of Meat is out on iTunes and other platforms like Amazon, Microsoft Play, PlayStation, since September 4th. And the website is theendofmeat.com. And, yeah, and we're on social media as well.
Okay. We've been talking with filmmaker Mark Pearshall. He's responsible for the films The End of Meat and Live and Let Live. Thanks again for being with us, Mark.
Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.